This is Mike Harp, your host of the Divine Healing Prayer Ministry Program. And we'll start off where we left off last time, going through the mysteries of the Rosary, just to offer a short word on each one of inspiration. And we'll begin with the first sorrowful mystery, the agony of Jesus in the garden. Here we see Jesus in great sorrow, and I believe it's the best depiction we have of Jesus' human side, his humanity. He even says, "Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." No matter how hard it is, no matter how hard his mission is going to be, he literally has to suffer for all the sins ever committed by any person from the past, present, and future. He's taken all that weight on his back. That's his cross. You know, we only have to carry the cross of our own sins and whatever our loving Father gives us, which is extremely difficult. Imagine carrying every cross of every person in existence at all times, you know. That would be something that I believe only God could say yes to, you know, in the manner in which he did. So we see, you know, in his humanity, it almost, you know, broke him in a sense. He didn't want to do it, but he said, "Let not my will but yours be done." And that is the greatest example of a yes, you know, that we can give to God. No matter what his will is, we should always give that yes. And so I'm always just amazed by that. In the second sorrowful mystery, we see Jesus scourged at the pillar. You know, Pilate asks him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus knows that they don't believe he's a king, but still he says, "I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." And the great injustice here is that Pilate finds no guilt in Jesus, yet still sends him to be whipped. And he's whipped to make up for our sins, especially those of the flesh. And then if this wasn't enough, the crowd has no pity on him. They reject him in favor of a false Messiah, which was Barabbas. They condemn Jesus to death, but yet he still looks upon the crowd and he loves them, even though they reject him. The third sorrowful mystery, the crowning with thorns. Jesus is humiliated here. He is spat upon, he is made fun of, he is crowned with thorns and mocked, and I believe many humiliations much worse than what we have in Scripture. But after all this, being spat upon, he only responds with love. He still is suffering for these same people that are abusing him. And it's just an amazing example of humility. And the sins that he suffered to make reparation for our pride. And we just pray that he can reign in our hearts in this way, so that no matter what anyone does to us, we can love them and forgive them no matter what. Because God suffered and died for them. The fourth sorrowful mystery is the carrying of the cross. Here we have Jesus carrying the full weight of all of our sins, seeing his mother along the journey, and one can imagine how much that he would like to stop and be consoled or not leave his mother, but he carries on, and that long, long journey of falling and being hit and kicked and spat upon and abused by not only the soldiers but every single person along that long journey. In this, we can get strength to have patience in bearing all of our trials, no matter what they are, and just keep taking one step forward. That's all we have to do in the present moment. That's all we can do in the present moment. Just keep taking one more step forward, and God will do the rest if we put forth that effort. Near the end of his journey to Calvary, there's the women who are crying, and he says, "Weep not for me, but for yourselves and your children." Jesus is beyond the point of death right now. The only thing keeping him alive is his divinity. And he looks and there's no one to offer support, no one to help. Yet he does not seek pity as we often do in our sufferings. He does not feel sorry for himself. And even from those who are feeling sorry for him and crying, he says, "Don't pity me, you know, I'm innocent. Weep and turn your tears for your own repentance." It's just an amazing example of manliness and the courage that we should have. The fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion. Here Jesus, as we know, asks the Father to forgive those who have nailed him to the cross and continue to make fun of him. The good thief sees this and is amazed. He sees Mary's weeping and perhaps thinks about his own life and how he abandoned his own mother. And he sees Jesus and how bad they treated him and how he continues to pray for them. And he knows Jesus is innocent. And so what does he do? He confesses his guilt. He says he deserves to die. And he also proclaims that Jesus is who he says he is in public amongst the crowds. He's sorry for his sins, and he asks Jesus for his forgiveness in full faith and trust. And so in all those acts, he is truly forgiven of all of his sins. And that is why Jesus can say to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He offers his sufferings to the Lord. He knows he is guilty, and he deserves what he is suffering. Jesus then looks down and says to his mother, "Woman," referring to her under the title that she is referred to in both Genesis and Revelation as woman, "Behold your son," speaking of John, the beloved disciple, who was the one that remained with Jesus out of all the apostles, and tells John, "Behold your mother." As he is about to die, he gives Mary, his mother, the gift of all the children of creation. He then says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" quoting the Psalms and Scripture, knowing that it refers to himself here in this moment of abandonment. He says, "I thirst," not of a natural thirst, though he was extremely dehydrated, but a thirst for souls, which went misunderstood by those around him. And he says, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." So no matter how much Jesus thirsted for souls and even wanted to suffer more, he is obedient up to the last moment and painfully offers himself to the Father. After this, we know that his side was pierced, and from it blood and water poured out like an explosion. His heart would have been overswelled with blood and water, and when that lance pierced his side, an explosion took place, and the blood and water gushed forth, and that's what continues to flow forth to give us mercy for our sins even today. And the last set of mysteries, the glorious mysteries. The first, we have the resurrection. Jesus is, we know from tradition, first appeared to his mother Mary, but the first person he appeared to besides that was Mary Magdalene, then the holy women. And then the apostles and people began to find out that Jesus had risen, and he began to appear to them too. He appeared to the two from Emmaus and made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. And he appeared to the apostles behind locked doors and gave them the power to forgive sin, as we see at the end of John. This is when he defeated Satan. His resurrection changed death into life. He began to put creation back in order, and his second coming, when everything is made perfect and restored in Christ, will be the fulfillment of this most solemn act of his resurrection. The second glorious mystery is the ascension into heaven. Jesus gives the people his blessing, and he says he will send his Holy Spirit to be with them, and then he goes back to heaven. He opens the gates of heaven, sits equal next to his Father, and the wounds of his glorified body continue to plea to the Father on our behalf. And the apostles and Mary all return with great joy because they had Christian hope. They believed that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit. They believed that he knew what was best, and though they were sad to let him go, they hoped in what he told them. We can have that same hope today if we believe that the Lord will take care of us and grant us his Holy Spirit to help us. The third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. We have Mary and the apostles and Jesus' disciples gathered in the same place he celebrated the Last Supper, which Catholics believe is the first Mass. They prayed for about 9 days, we believe, the first novena. And not only did they pray, but they fasted and had a true desire to receive the Holy Spirit. And if we want to receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we have to truly desire it. We have to know that Jesus wants to give it to us. We have to have been taught about it, and we have to pray and try and really desire it and ask for it from the heart, and it will be granted to us. The fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of Mary. Here we have Mary, who dies in a rapture of divine love, and then later her body is also taken, leaving behind fragrant lilies. Her body is assumed into heaven. And this is the way that Jesus originally intended all humanity to die, without the stain of sin. We would not have to experience suffering and death, but we would be just taken in love and assumed, and we would then receive our glorified bodies. And so Mary is the forerunner of our resurrection, and we can always go to Jesus through her. The fifth glorious mystery, the coronation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is received into heaven and crowned as Queen of heaven and earth. And the great angels and saints are so happy that the one who they've been waiting on, the one who will crush the head of the serpent, is finally arrived. We can imitate Mary in her grace of final perseverance. She suffered and was loyal until the very last moment. And it's because she endured the sufferings of Christ so fully that she shares so fully in his glory in heaven. Thank you and God bless.